for a lot of people, most people, they don't get to live that way, because you make choices based on what's right and wrong, based on what you learned in life, and they stick with what's comfortable. So there's many studies out there that show if you're going to grow old and be happy, you have to have a good health, right? You don't have to be extreme, but just, you know, don't overdo bad eating. But also you should be social, and you should step out of your comfort zone, learn something new. So whether that's a language or an instrument, just do something that you're not, that you don't know how.
You're listening to the She Is Fierce podcast. I'm Kelly Youngs, the founder of She Is Fierce, a global women's network that elevates women's stories and gives you the tools and connections you need to live on purpose. We support female leaders and business owners who are ready to level up in business and life. We partner with and provide speakers and development programs for companies that believe in the power of supporting women on the rise. On our podcast, you'll hear the inspiring stories of professionals and entrepreneurs who have overcome challenges and built purpose-filled lives. And you'll get a behind-the-scenes look at my mission-driven business and learn how to brand and grow your own.
So delighted to introduce you to one of our very own members and a fierce woman in her own right, Monica McGee. Monica is an entrepreneur with impressive business credentials, but today I am going to mostly be asking her about her inspiring personal journey. She and her husband gave up their land-based home and yard and are currently traveling on a yacht and recording their journey on video. You can watch her awe-inspiring, fun, and informative videos on yourhometv.com, and you can connect with her at Yard to Yacht on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Monica, welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you on with me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly. I've been looking forward to this. I'm following you, even though I'm not currently in the States. I get all your emails and have lots of good memories from joining you and all the women in She Is Fierce when we lived in St. Augustine.
Oh, well, I love being able to feature the stories of women in our community and women that I know a little bit better, because it's just fun. And it's such a great example of how there are incredible women all around us who are doing these like phenomenal, inspiring things. And you are a perfect example of that. So as you just said, when we first met, you lived on land in Florida, not too far from me, but now you are not in you are not from Florida, and you're not even from the US originally. So right. Before we get into your current journey, can you share a little bit of your background and how you even found yourself in the United States to begin with?
Yeah, so I was born and grew up in Norway. All my family still, and lots of friends are still living in Norway. And I was kind of a restless soul, you can say. I just knew from early on that I wanted to see more than just a little town that I lived in. So I couldn't wait to leave and start traveling. And it was sort of just random that I ended up in the US, ended up in Maryland. I applied for a job as an au pair through a little clip in a local newspaper. And they said, you sound like a great fit. So I just went ahead and went. And I was 19 years old and I did not go through an agency. So a little bit of not like proper way of doing it, I guess. But my parents were all thinking it was fine and very supportive. And now that I have all three of my kids are way older than 19, but you know, when they were 19, I'm thinking I was their age when I actually left by myself, alone with nobody. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
It's amazing. And it's to your point, I think when you're 19, you think I can do anything and nothing's going to stop me. And when you're a little bit older and you reflect back, you think,
yes,
so many things could have gone wrong.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, you just don't know what you don't know. So I guess, had I known all that, I might have been too afraid to leave. Who knows?
Yeah,
But
sometimes it's a
I,
good thing.
yeah, so exactly. So I had the courage and was very excited about the whole thing. And I also knew that if things didn't work out, I could just go back home. So, but still, it was a big leap. And I had a blast and I met my husband. I was going to travel all over the world, mind you. I met my husband shortly after I arrived and we just started dating and had so much fun. So when my year was up, I just had to make the decision. Do I want to travel and leave him and what we had behind, or should I just stay with him and have a future with him? And that's what I decided to do because it seemed to be the best decision at the time, and I'm very happy that I did because we're still together 31 years later, three kids and few dogs and few houses and all that. So so that worked out really well, and lived then together in Maryland for many years. We actually moved back to Norway for a few years because the plan was the whole time we were going to live our second half of our lives in Norway. So we did, and we moved back, and my husband was so supportive the entire time. We told the kids from they were born, taught them the Norwegian language from the very beginning. So they were very integrated with Norway, had been there a ton. So that was an easy transition because it was so planned. But once we got there and we'd lived there for a few years, just things aren't the same. 20 years later, I had changed, everything had changed, and it just wasn't what I expected. So we thought, why try to force something that doesn't feel right? So we moved back, but we moved to Florida instead of Maryland because we figured, what the heck, we're uprooted. We might as well try something different. So we landed in St. Augustine, really with no plans. Just kind of figured we'll figure things out when we get there. And we did. And we started that home inspection business. So then I'm in touch with a bunch of realtors because I did all the marketing. And that's when I met you. So, and then I've
It
stayed
all
with
comes
them.
full circle.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Well, and I love your story about meeting your husband because I have a son. My husband's from England, and I have a similar story of meeting him and staying together. And so I love a good story about two people from different countries coming together.
Yes.
And honestly, I think such a beautiful sentiment to be able to say, I had this plan. And I lived that plan out, and then I realized it wasn't actually quite what I wanted. So I tried something different. I think that's such a beautiful approach and something that is so hard. We often want to hold on to the thing that we had in our mind and prove that we can do it. And sometimes, and you're a perfect example because I want to talk about what you're doing now of how letting go of expectation and moving into something that is actually going to serve your purpose and your passion will lead to something much more exciting. So, with that said, I want to hear how you decided to go from not really even knowing all that much about boats to living on a boat. Can you just walk us through how you went from Maryland to Norway to Florida? You had a business in Florida, you were thriving. And then you decided to try something new. So walk us through that journey.
So I think back to what we just talked about, the expression to be stuck in a rut. Don't be stuck in a rut. Don't be too comfortable. Don't just stay there because, let's say when we moved to Norway, it's like that we had planned. I had planned that micro planned it. I like every detail. I mean, we went home with the kids every summer, or I did. So we spent a lot of summers apart, my husband and I, because this was the plan. We wanted to integrate them into the society, the culture, my family. They went to school there, the whole nine yards. It was as planned as it could possibly be. So it took a while to realize that, it's okay not to do what you had planned on doing. You have to sometimes just do like a pattern interrupt. You just have to, if you're not thriving, even if you're okay, you're happy, if there's other things out there that you feel like, I kind of wish, we always say, I kind of wish I could do this. Well, if you wish you can do it, then make it happen. Do it. Yeah, figure out a way to
absolutely.
make it happen.
Absolutely. So, with your yard to yacht journey, what was the first step in deciding and ultimately, taking this big, that's a big leap of faith.
Yeah, I think from when I left Norway at age 19 and being brave and realizing that I quickly told myself, what's the worst that can happen? I'm not gonna die. Like literally, I'm just from my decisions. So what's the worst that's gonna happen? And if you ask yourself that question, what's the absolute worst that's gonna happen? It's usually not that bad. It's just, and literally if you write down those what's the worst that's gonna happen? And you look at it and it's like, well, I can deal with that. And it's not so scary anymore. And I think people just are afraid of what ifs, and they don't often realize, well, what are the what ifs? Ask yourself, what are the what ifs? And that just kind of makes it a little bit more doable. So I guess through my lifetime of just doing these pattern interrupts, I've kind of gotten used to it. It's not so scary anymore. So it's true that we literally made this decision over a bottle of wine.
Oh my gosh.
A bottle of wine. So we were sitting around our pool at the house in St. Augustine, and just wonderful warm evening, just having a good time and just kind of fantasizing about, what else do we want to do? We had a home inspection business that was it was a good business. We had basically as much work as we wanted to have. But the problem was that we worked so much that we didn't have time to spend that money on traveling. So we couldn't get away. We were just stuck. So unless you have like a huge business and you're willing to put in 2, 3, 4 years where you're really growing to add a staff, then it's a different matter. We never got to that point because we didn't want to go through all that stress. We were tired already just working a small business. So we're like, either we have to like go full force all in to gain enough staff to be able to hand off a lot of these responsibilities to other people, but then you need, more home inspectors on your team and all that goes with it. Or we can just do something totally different and just get more time on that way. So we were just kind of bouncing off ideas, and we looked at each other and it's like, well, how about boating? It's like, well, we don't know how to boat. We'd never been on a boat. I mean, it was like we knew nothing. We didn't know starboard from port, the
Oh
green
my
light, the red
gosh.
light. I mean, we were like, if for us it was a fantasy, and we're thinking, just, well, how fun can you imagine sitting on the bow on the water driving? It's just I could just feel it, and we were just having this conversation. It's like we're talking about it all evening, and we woke up the next morning and we're looking at each other. Oh, you're still in? I'm like, yep, I'm still in. So we called a broker literally the same day, and mind you, a lot of brokers, when they get contacted, they get a lot of people that are dreamers, but very seldom they actually go ahead and do it. But we knew, because we had done these bounces before of doing different things, that when we say we want to do something like that, we're serious about it. So we found a broker that took us seriously. We went to a boat show, and he's like, okay, you sound believable, I'll help you. And I guess he was happy that he did, because he found the boat for us. So yeah, we just basically made the decision over a bottle of wine, stuck with it, and decided, let's figure it out as we go along. Sold the house, sold everything in it, and gave away, truthfully, we gave away so much stuff, because it's hard to sell used stuff even if it's in good shape. So we gave a lot away to different organizations and people in need and so forth. And that was actually sort of a byproduct of a decision that I didn't really expect would feel so good, but it was a wonderful feeling. People ask me all the time, how were you able to get rid of all your stuff? It's like it was gratifying, because we gave so much away to people in need. and we didn't need
Yeah.
it anymore. We have a boat now. We can't fit this stuff on there anyway. It means those things are material things that ultimately mean nothing. You know, it's a memory you have maybe with a thing, but really it's doesn't matter, does it? I mean, what matters
No.
is what you do in life.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there are so many lessons in how you are living your life for all of us right now. So I have some deeper questions for you in a minute, but before I jump into those, I want to ask you to share a little bit about how, so you shared, you had a business, you decided we are going to do something completely different. So some people who are listening are going to say, oh, okay, well, you just pulled out a checkbook and made it happen, right? So can you walk us through the choices that you made, just on a really practical level, and how now, yeah, and share a little bit so people can actually listen and watch, and how now you have your own program running on yourhometv.com. So you have not just said, I'm going to go and do this thing in retirement. You've actually turned it into a new opportunity professionally. I'm going to call it professional, even though you're out on a boat having an amazing
time.
So walk us through that, because I think you are living so many people's dreams, and I would love to hear, you know, a year from now, hear somebody say, I heard Monica talk, and this is how I've done something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. My advice would be that you also, of course, you can't just dream and sell your house and hope for the best. I mean, you do have to have a plan. So we all need money to live, and to live on a boat is not, it's not like it's very, it's less expensive than living on land, but boat stands for BOAT, bring out another thousand. So it's when something breaks, which is pretty much all the time, do you have some kind of project that you need to work on, parts and stuff. It's very expensive. Labor is very expensive. So the more you can do yourself, the more self-sufficient you are, the better you are in not spending too much money. So basically you have to be okay with living on a budget. So for us, that means just a lot less of going out to eat. We don't buy as many clothes, shoes, purses, and just things that really don't matter.
You just need
anyway.
A bathing suit.
Yeah, exactly. And for us, like, we don't have space for that stuff anyway. So it's an easy decision. But if you wanted to buy an RV, I guess it would be the same thing. You have the same circumstances. So you should definitely have a plan. And most of us, it's not like you just need money, but you pretty much find out very quickly that if you just retire and you do nothing, it gets really boring. You know, you can only read so many books, and then books start getting a little monotonous. And you want to have a purpose. You want to do something. So there are so many opportunities to work online that having a business online, it's not like it's easy, as we all know. It takes a lot of work. But find out what you would like to do. We knew that we wanted to create videos. We wanted to share with people what we're going through and what it's like living on a boat. And then eventually, now we're in the Bahamas and we're going to be sharing, or we already have, we've made several videos of where we're at and places in the Bahamas. And we're kind of touch and go as we've been making videos for a year. To begin with, we were a lot into kind of like learning boat projects and this and that, in addition to traveling. Now we're kind of focusing a little bit more on the traveling, because that's what we enjoy. So that's what my advice to people is, that don't just stick with what you are 100% planned on right away. Just kind of change a little bit and do what you enjoy doing. Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, it's not going to be fun, and you're not going to thrive at it. So with all the opportunities online that you can work and make some money, when you have a boat or an RV instead of a house with multiple cars, you have less bills. So you don't need as much of an income as you would when you're having a more bills. So so try to figure out what your cost is going to be and per month, and get a job remotely that you can bring with you. And that remote job most of the time is not as tiring, and as you're not working as many hours, maybe I would say, as you are when you're working, like for us, when I compare it to the home inspection business, it's a 24/7 job. You're pretty much always on call, like a realtor. And I use those two because those are the fields that I know really well. But I'm sure, like, if you're running a coffee shop, it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's running your own business is just so taxing because you're wearing so many hats. So if you step away from that and you work on something like a remote job, you wear one hat basically, and you pick something that you like, and now you have time to read books on the side, and you have time to work, and you can either work for somebody else, or you can, like we do, we run our own business. But this running this business is nothing like running the home inspection business. It's so much more fun.
I mean, it definitely looks fun. So, anybody who watches your video, as you just said, can see that you are out there having fun. You are exploring. You said you're in the Bahamas right now. So you're in these beautiful places. You're on a boat. It's all sounding really good. So can you talk us through maybe just one or two challenges that you've gone through, you know, especially I would say one that I imagine is going from very little boating knowledge to suddenly living on a boat and recording that experience.
Yes.
What does that look like, and how have you handled those challenges? Because you're still there. You didn't give up.
Right. So I think it's important to, when you are dealing with something that's difficult, it's important to step out of the situation, like literally step out of your own body, stand in front of a mirror, look at the person and pretend like when you're talking that you're somebody else, so you can see what that person is really going through. You see it from outside looking in. It just kind of makes things more clear. And what I'm getting at is that when you're going through something difficult, your emotions are all wound up. So for me, difficult with the boating is when I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. And that happens all the time. It still happens. Oh my gosh. And it's just mostly weather related with boating. When you're having a problem with a boat and you're docked, the boat is still, it's tied up with all kinds of lines and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But when you're out on the water and all of a sudden there's a squall that just happens to come, or we read the weather not correct and it's more windy, or just the waves are just not doing what you thought they would be. They're much bigger and the intervals are much shorter. It's incredibly stressful. I mean, you're so tense that every nerve in your body, you don't, and I guess we deal with stress levels on different ways, but I'm lucky that my husband deals with stress very calmly. And I deal with stress where I kind of, like, if I'm really, really stressed out, I almost kind of freeze. And that's a new feeling. That's something that I've never been in that situation before. So in a way, you get to know yourself better. And I'm learning to deal with that. So when I realize that when I'm very stressed, I just stop functioning. That's not okay on a boat. So when that happens, you know, I just have to tell myself, I literally tell myself, breathe with your stomach, breathe with your stomach, hands on the steering wheel if I'm steering, and just, you know, you've done this before, you just have to kind of like be your own teacher, kind of, you know. And then breathing with your stomach helps a lot, because, you know, when you breathe with your chest, you're not getting enough oxygen. So little tricks like that helps a lot to deal with stress levels. And I think that can compare to all kinds of situations in life. You're starting your own new business and it's uncomfortable. You need to reach out to people. Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? They're going to tell me no. Okay, so what? Don't take it personal. It's part of the game. Keep going. And then if that happens over and over and over again, and you're just miserable, you can't stand it, well, don't do it. Figure out some other way to do it. Don't make yourself miserable. Don't get stuck in a rut. Pick options that are good. So for my husband and I, since we're a team doing this, we now know each other's strengths and weaknesses. So our goal is to be as sufficient on driving the boat and docking the boat, both of us, so that we can just trade off. And mm-hmm. that goes the same in the engine room. Now, we do kind of, you know, certain things kind of fall on him and certain things fall on me. That's natural. But really, when it comes to like the major things, we try to both be very involved, but then we support each other where need be, because you kind of know each other's, you know, how he handles it compared to how I handle it. So yeah, I mean, that's my best advice. It's just yeah, write down what you're struggling with, and it's not that scary. It certainly mm-hmm. has not. It's been scary at times for me, but not often and enough that I want to stop doing what we're doing. Because then I step out of my comfort zone, and then I ask myself, well, if you don't like it, you can quit. And then I've asked myself that before. We can just quit. We don't have to do this. My husband would support me if I was really miserable. And it's like, no, I don't want to quit, because there's nothing else that seems better. I am now doing what is the best option for us. And nothing can't always just be positive, right? There's always going to be some hurdles.
Yeah. I really would like to see you write a marriage counseling book after this experience is over, because I think there are a lot of people out there who benefit from your philosophies on working together in marriage.
Oh, that's
just a side note. I want you to come back on the podcast and share after you've written that book.
Absolutely.
But one thing I love about your story is that, you know, you haven't leaned into what you've always done. And I feel like, you know, so many people over time say, well, I'm good at this thing, so I'm going to stick with it. But as you have described in so many different areas and over time, you've done all of these different things that were exciting to you and interesting to you at the time. You decided to go for it, and you create, especially in this example, you created this like exciting new adventure and really mm-hmm. followed your bliss. So what yes. I want to ask you next is really what it means to you to live with passion and purpose. What that looks like in your life, but also what it means to you just generally to live with passion and purpose.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of hard to answer, because in a way it's just so obvious that it's like it just means that you're happy, right? But yet it's for a lot of people, most people, they don't get to live that way, because you make choices based on what's right and wrong, based on what you learned in life, and they stick with what's comfortable. So there's many studies out there that show if you're going to grow old and be happy, you have to have a good health, right? You don't have to be extreme, but just, you know, don't overdo bad eating. But also you should be social, and you should step out of your comfort zone, learn something new. So whether that's a language or an instrument, just do something that you don't know how, you know, just do it. Go to some meeting somewhere, a social gathering. If you've never gardened, go to a gardening meeting. Maybe you love it. Who knows? If you've never done it, just pick something that's different. And you'll meet people. For us, we have met so many people along the way. We're all the time meeting people that we would have never met if we had just stayed in our lane when we lived in St. Augustine. And these are people that are giving you impulses and stories and just information that you don't even know exists out there. And it's so... you just feel the energy. It's just fun. It's just really amazing to be able to not know kind of what our next destination holds. So when we're done here on Grand Bahama, we're going to go down to a place called the Berries. We've never been there. It's a different region of Bahamas. We read about it, we hear about it. We're going to meet the locals and just learn about their culture. And it's just, we know now that that's going to open up some doors that we are always willing to, by the way, when a door opens up, you got to be willing to take a peek. You don't have to go through it, but you got to be willing to take a peek. What's behind that door? Be curious and see and get to know them. And if you don't like it, walk back out the door. What's the worst that could have happened, right? You better regret something that you've done than something that you haven't done. Always keep that in mind, because if not, you lose out on so many opportunities. That was a long, long answer.
No, I love it. Well, and so I think that might lead into my next question, which is, you know, as we kind of wrap up our conversation, I really want to hear from you the words of wisdom that you have for other women in our community. So, you know, especially as a member, as a woman who's been to many of our events, you know the incredible, ambitious, inspiring, empathetic women that we have in our world and who are listening to this conversation. What words of wisdom do you have for them that you really want them to take away from this conversation?
It's to, again, don't sell yourself short. Take the opportunities that present themselves. You might end up in a totally different area a year from now that you didn't know was an option unless you peek through that door, and be okay by not following every step that you have laid out and planned. Be okay to deviate and be okay to not be as successful as you want to be within a certain time. Just maybe, you know, be lower your bar a little bit, because you have to be happy with who you are. When you're going to bed at night, have you had a good day? Ask yourself, did I have a good day today? Oh, I'm totally stressed out. I'm so tired. I didn't get to do this, and that. Ask yourself, what made your day happy? And when you see what those answers are, well, do more of those things. Make sure that you have some things that you're happy with that day and that you're not totally exhausted. And I know that that's difficult if you're running a full-time business like we did, if you have small kids and you're torn in every direction. I've been there, I've done that. I know at some periods of your life, you can't really just do what we're doing. And I get that. But very often there are things you can do to kind of make it a little less stressful. You know, you're making yourself very often do things that's not necessary. It's kind of like, it's okay to say no, right? Why is it okay to say no? Because you're saying no because you're wanting to take time to yourself. And then we're like, no, I can't say no because that's selfish. Well, be selfish then. Who cares? You know, just, you need to be happy with who you are. Be selfish and be happy with who you are. Because when you're happy, then people around you are happy. If you're not happy, it's you can try to hide it, but you can't.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to flourish.
That's a beautiful lesson to leave us on. As we close out our conversation, I want to ask you for one more thing, and that is for you to share how She Is Fierce has impacted you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That was huge. I am so thankful when I was introduced to She Is Fierce, and we went into the meeting. What was the vault? Was that what it was called? The vault?
It was one of our speaking events. Yeah.
Yes. Women's yes. Day, yeah. You had it once a month, and mm-hmm. I was there for those events. And coming in there, it was just packed with all these women. I was a little bit like, wow, there's a lot of women go-getters out there. And everybody just so happy and hugging each other and good to see you, making new connections. And the positive energy was just flowing in that room. And afterwards, when we broke up or broke off into these groups and we could sit down at the tables, that was huge. I got to ask questions of not just how to run a business, but just feelings. It's like, this is so difficult. I find this, you know, uncomfortable or whatever, you know, what is your experience? And then you realize, oh, there's a lot of people with that exact same issue. And that was that, I mean, I walked out of there feeling lighter. It's normal. So it's all about sharing and being together with like-minded people. And I would not have had a chance to meet that many women in one place if it wasn't for She Is Fierce. So I am very, very thankful for that. And I think I can speak for everybody that is part of She Is Fierce. It's a wonderful organization. And just the name itself just explains what it is. She Is Fierce.
Thank you so much, Monica. I'm appreciative, and that's very kind. Now, you can follow along on Monica's Yard to Yacht journey, and you can watch her awe-inspiring, fun, and informative travel videos on yourhometv.com, and you can connect with her at Yard2Yacht on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you so much again, Monica, for sharing your wisdom, and I can't wait to see what your next piece of your journey looks like.
Who knows? People ask us, how long are you going to be doing this? And we're like, we don't know. We're going to do it as long as we're having fun, and then we'll do something else later.
That's
so, yeah,
beautiful.
As long
well,
as
thank you again.
Thank you so much, Kelly. This has been wonderful. It's always a pleasure to meet you. And if anybody wants to reach out to me personally and just chat about whatever from one She Is Fierce to another, I am all ears. I mean, my phone number is on our different pages, and just I'm easy to get a hold of. Reach
that
out.
That is a very generous offer. So I hope someone who is listening will take you up on that, because that is phenomenally generous.
And thank WhatsApp you. Is the best way to reach me for phone, since I'm not in the US. So
okay,
yeah,
perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Kelly.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the She Is Fierce podcast. Join our community of fierce female leaders and women on the rise who are ready to level up, make more money, find more joy, and make their mark in the world inside our She Is Fierce membership, our high-level CEO mastermind circle for entrepreneurs, or at one of our sold-out live events. Choose how you want to get involved at sheisfiercehq.com.